everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Today, I'm in a referee's shirt. No, just, I should be. Or I should be wearing one of those tuxedos. Long time ago in Las Vegas, when I worked for NBC Radio, I actually covered some of those heavyweight fights. And the ring announcer would have on a beautiful tuxedo. In this corner is Sean McCluskey. In this corner, it's David Morrell. So that's coming up, folks. It's the showdown on The Buckmaster Show. Ed Alexander with us. Ed and I welcome you to the show. It is a Thursday. It's March 12th, 2015. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, which has not only a great voice, it's got great reach. I mean, I've listened to the station pretty much all the way up to the Phoenix area. It's booming in and goes really all over southern Arizona. The showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morrells will be our featured attraction. And then coming up at 12:30, really an upcoming star of the Arizona Republican Party. She is a physician. State Senator Kelly Ward of Lake Havasu City will be joining us, and she's actually considering a run against Senator John McCain. Almost said John McClain. No, not that gentleman, not Mr. McClain. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. By the way, at about 45 past the hour, Tom Collier talks about some things you need to know, some consumer items. So that we've got a full show loaded with content as usual. If you'd like to get in on the live line again, 790-2040. The showdown features Sean McCluskey. He is seated to the right of me, Tea Party and Republican Party activist. Left-hand corner, the avowed leftist David Morrells, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you guys today?
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
As folks who follow my Facebook and follow David's Facebook and Sean's Facebook, David is really upset, Sean. He's really upset.
Over no need. And he's upset, but he's upset at the wrong person.
Well, he is upset, and he's upset, and he's really been fuming about this. He believes the new state budget, I guess it hasn't officially been signed, but Governor Ducey has within a week to sign it, and he'll sign it. But David Morrells is just furious. He believes that this budget is essentially a racist document.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think if you look at – so first of all, you got to define our terms here. What is racism, okay?
What is it? Yeah.
So usually when you have isms, that means it's a system, like capitalism, communism, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about a person or anything like that. Like, for example, you can have poll taxes. Poll taxes were part of the racism, but they weren't targeted toward anyone. They didn't call anyone names and stuff like that. So if you look at the state budget that we have now, I think this is the beginning of the collapse of this state.
Really?
It tells a lot about our future and which way we're headed. Arizona is at a crossroads right now between the current people in power who tend to be richer, retired folks, probably, you know, most of the people listening to this station, and 50% of more than 50% of babies being born today are Latino, okay? And if you look at how the state is allocating its budget, it tells exactly what they have in plan for this new next generation. Cutting education. Mm-hmm. I was depressed looking at the budget today. Cutting access, cutting CPS, cutting community colleges 100% only in the urban areas, right? So now who are the people that are in this area? Who's the people in Tucson and Phoenix that go to community colleges? Who's the people in Safford that go to community colleges?
Poorer people.
Yeah, it's a very different demographic.
Oh, that's not true.
No,
that's absolutely not true.
Not poor, but I was just saying, David, is that what you're implying, that they're poorer people?
They're poor, and poorer people tend to be more minority people.
Now, see, I see that they're more affluent people, and they're more dime savvy, if you will. I know several kids that go to the community colleges to get out their core basics out of the way, mm-hmm. and then they move on to the four-year university.
There's some people, but overall, the vast majority, like at my campus, it's like 95%, you know, Latino. It's people who cannot afford the U of A because the U of A keeps getting more and more
And whose fault is that? That's not Governor Ducey's fault. That's the Board of Regents' fault. Every time that Brewer cut the budget, not one of you Democrats stood up, not Steve Farley, not Victoria Steele, who called for a walkout of the students, by the way, which is absolutely disrespectful of not only the system but the governor as well. But if you look at anybody, nobody complained, nobody whined, nobody cried when Governor Brewer did it. You guys all got behind her on Obama, on Obamacare, and you went full force. But now all of a sudden the big bad Republican cuts university spending. And nobody, and they all scream bloody murder.
What you're
but
saying
he
is
actually
not
true. Added back on through K through 12.
Not necessarily. What you're saying is not true because I mean I know I've me and all my activist friends have been opposing Jan Brewer since 1070 on education, on all these things, on her private prison connections, on her lobbyists working for CCA.
Not half as loudly as you guys are doing it now. I mean, Steve Farley comes down and shows up at TUSD. When's the last time Farley was at TUSD?
This isn't about Steve Farley. This is about overall. See, that's what I mean.
But I'm saying the Democrats didn't cry bloody murder then. Now, all of a sudden, Democrats, now it's super important.
First of all, I'm not a Democrat, but I tend to align more with them. But it's not about, you know, these little anecdotal evidence. It's about an overall structure. What is the vision that Arizona has for the future when we cut funding for education? We cut over $100 million.
3% of the budget was cut.
And yet we raised the amount we spent on police and prisons. Over $1 billion now is spent on Department of Corrections.
And most of that was due because of what Brewer did prior to her leaving.
But it was increased.
Are we mandated, though, to spend money on prisons?
Absolutely.
And now what kind of prisons do we have now? We have private prisons. Mm-hmm. And we have contracts with the private prisons that guarantee those beds will be filled. What kind of government do we have when we are guaranteeing that we're going to imprison our population just so a private prison corporation can make profits?
We have a growing population of people doing stupid things.
It's
a guarantee that you can make. I mean, it's go to the Vegas type guarantee.
What happens when you cut education? You get more people doing stupid things because they're not educated. Right?
These are adults that are choosing to do stupid things.
Yeah, like our state legislator that's not educated.
Child Protective Services or DEA, whatever department takes care of the underage, the juvenile corrections, they're not overflowing with hoodlums. It's the adult population that are making poor decisions.
And what are they going in jail for? Minor offenses like marijuana offenses.
Shouldn't your argument be let's create more economic opportunity in Arizona and bring more jobs so these people are not on the street, they're not on welfare, they're not on the public dole?
Should any corporation be making money off of the imprisonment of people? That's the problem, is that the government, Doug Ducey, we're in a time of budget cuts, right? We have no money. We're cutting our corporate tax rates lower and lower all the time. We have no money, and yet we're giving more money to prisons and less money to education. How do you justify that? What makes prisons more important than schools? Because if you have less people in school, you're going to...
No, you have a growing population of prison because you have people who are unemployed who are not doing the right thing. Cutting the schools is not exactly what it's not true what you're saying.
It is true.
What truly is happening is you're having a mismanagement of the money. Look at TUSD. Look at the university system. Look at the Board of Regents. What did the Board of Regents do the last time Brewer cut their funding? They raised it. Plus, they covered what Brewer cut, then they went above it 25%.
Well, you're right.
How are they using their money effectively? How are the people where you work at Pima Community College, how are they using the money effectively? How are they getting it down to the student? It's something like $125 per pupil that goes to the university system in the entire state. That's what they cut per student, per classroom, per semester.
And that adds up to over $100 million that they cut this year.
And you're telling me that there's no inefficiencies at any level that PCC can't cut, that TUSD can't cut, that the
prisons,
Board of Regents will
that
not
prisons,
cut.
What about the prisons? Can the prisons cut this money? Do they have to make over... It costs over $50,000 a year to house an inmate.
We can do it, but you won't let me put them all in tents.
Oh,
that's you won't let me pay. You won't let me have pink underwear and tents out in 105 degree because it's inhumane.
Well,
really,
is
that the
situation?
You want to fund schools? Let's gut the prisons. Put them all in tents.
Why are you guys so infatuated with the pink underwear? I don't understand it. This is the future you have in mind for Arizona: is less schools and more tent cities with pink underwear wearing people. Like,
it's almost like David is painting a picture here, Sean, of like the final days of apartheid or something here in Arizona.
Absolutely not.
It is.
Absolutely not.
Because this is how you view the population. You view them as, I want to put them in pink underwear and I want to put them on the desert. I want to put them in prisons. You don't.
It reduces the cost, does it not? That's your whole argument.
But you don't
want to diminish it right there.
But yet you don't want to say, I want to educate these people. I want them to go to school. I want them to eat, have food so they're not hungry when they go to school. There's no care from the the Republican Party. This is not what Jesus would do. Jesus would not imprison all the young Latinos.
It's not about being Latino. It's about being 24 to 32 and being incarcerated. Why are you incarcerated?
The prison population.
Because you chose between you were 18 to 24 not to get educated.
Because the tuition's raising, they're cutting.
Border
we
regions.
Spend
Talk
more.
To the border regions.
No.
If anybody wants to do a recall, let's recall the border
the
regions.
The governor is spending more money on prisons than he does on universities and community colleges combined.
Out of sheer necessity.
Yeah, because we're not educating these people and we're increasing police force. What are the police going to do? They put people in prison. We have contracts to fill these prison beds.
Which That's is a guarantee. It's like going to Vegas and saying red or black and you know it's going to be black.
Prison. It's sad that this is how we're making money in Arizona is off the imprisonment of our people instead of the education of them. We could be hiring more teachers, more people in classrooms, but instead we're hiring more police and more prison guards. And then this goes to the national budget, too. We need more people on the Border Patrol, more people in border security. It's the imprisonment of a group of people. That's why it's racist.
David, you're saying these are kind of the waning days of the kind of power structure. You're going to see a dramatic power structure here in 10 to 15 years changing everything in the legislature.
Like I said, over 50% of babies being born today are Latinos. And yet, so who has the money? You know, white rich people, right? They're the ones that have the money. They're the ones that have the votes. Well, do they want their money going to educate kids that don't look like them?
White rich people have the money. Let's see. The Tucson that owns Los Angeles Angels is what? He's a Hispanic gentleman. So
what you do is you use anecdotal. Out. You say like, oh, there's one example out of 3 million people.
Steve
and that
Montenegro for using a Latino Republican legislator who isn't very wealthy but worked
the
system exceptionally well.
Now let's look at the,
well.
Three, let's look
You've
at the
got
3 million
two
other people.
Sides of the coin. You've got yourself versus Steve. You're complete
so,
160.
No, you're trying
opposite.
To make arguments like, well, the richest man in the world is Carlos Slim. He's Mexican. Therefore, Mexico is not impoverished. Those arguments are not valid. That's why we need education for people to go to school and learn statistics so they can know how to apply, you know, models to the society. You can't just say, oh, I have a rich Mexican friend. Therefore, there's no racism. Oh, the president's black. So therefore, there's no racism. It doesn't
you
work.
You forget I lived in the south side.
South side of Chicago.
South
All right,
side of Tucson as well.
South side of Brandon. We will hold those thoughts here. It's the Monday, and I almost said Monday showdown. It's our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales. If you'd like to get in on this, 790-2040, 790-2040. Do you agree with David Morales that this is almost the final days of the power structure in Arizona? We'll be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes. We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock. 323-8650, 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems. 323-8650, that's 323-8650.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview with Congressman Raul Grijalva. The Friday Roundtable features Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back. One of my favorite segments. It's happening. Once a month, we do the showdown. Sean McCluskey, Tea Party Republican activist, David Morales, leftist who does the Three Sonorans. We've got a couple of calls that want to join in on the fun. Timothy, I believe you're up first. Go ahead, Timothy.
David.
Go ahead. Yeah.
David, you're doing a terrible job. All you're doing is regurgitating everything that's out there. Listen, you need to make a case for why educating people helps them to stay out of jail. Let's give people morals. Morality is what you follow the law is what keeps you out of jail, not having an education. And the second thing is, can I educate my own kids? You talk like it's only the state can educate children. How about if I educate my kids? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Okay, thank you, Timothy. So, David, Timothy is contending basically that education doesn't really have any correlation to people that wind up in prison.
Oh, man.
I mean, I think that's what he was saying, wasn't he, Sean?
Well, he's saying if you respect the cops and you listen to, you know, obey authority and you get raised properly and correctly, you should not have any issues with going to jail.
Well, where do I start on that one? I mean, there's all kinds of studies that show relationship between education and imprisonment. We've talked about this before, but I mean, many people on the right wing believe like, oh, it's just about respect. It's just about respect for authority and stuff. But that's not true. I mean, we see today, you know, to this day, unarmed black youth being shot by police. And are they disrespecting authority?
How about the officers that were shot last night?
How about them?
I mean, talking about
the Ferguson area.
They're going to make it, by the way, thank God. Yeah. But David, you know, I disagree with you on your point that educated people don't commit crimes because
I didn't say that.
They just, well, the education leads to less crimes. No, it leads to softer prison. You go to federal prison. You don't go to San Quentin. Bloods and the Crips. You go to the guys that are pencil pushers.
Can you quote me your references? I mean, what this is, I don't even know how to respond to that. But, you know, in terms of homeschooling, well, we got to have standards. I know Republicans are against standards, but are you teaching your kids evolution or are you teaching them creationism? I mean, you're indoctrinating them in your own worldview. And that's the problem with homeschooling.
Wasn't Mexican-American studies indoctrinating in the view of the Mexican-American studies?
What is that?
Well, it's just your choice of evolution or creation. Take your pick.
Are you teaching truth of history?
You use the word indoctrination.
There's a difference between evolution, which has been proven, and creationism, which is debunked.
All right, Sean.
Teaching nonsense.
Sean, another Sean is with us. Sean in studio and Sean on the live line. Sean, go ahead.
Hi, Bill. David, I have a couple quick questions.
Go ahead.
First of all, when you have a larger population that is Latino or Hispanic, whatever label you want to use, doesn't it make sense that probably a larger amount of crime is being committed by that population, and thus you have a higher population of that segment in prisons? I worked in a predominantly Hispanic and black neighborhood back in New York, and guess what? We arrested people who committed crimes. So from our precinct or our area, there was a higher number of blacks and Hispanics who were in jail because they were committing crime. Now, my other point is Grijalva, okay? Your energy, I wish, would be put forth to your community and get an individual like Raul Grijalva out of office. Start at the ground, okay? Politics runs that community. Politics in that community has to be changed. When you have individuals like that representing the community as a whole, and you're identifying different things as the problem, that's one of the big problems here in Tucson, Pima County, that needs to be challenged.
Okay, Sean, thank you very much. Let's let David respond about the Latinos and crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear, first of all, he doesn't read Three Sonorans, because I think both of you here would agree that Grijalva is not my favorite politician.
Glad to hear that.
But with regards to Latino crime, what you're saying is true, okay? Yes, if you have more people, then you'll expect more people in prison. But you can compare populations. You can say, okay, if 40% of the population is Latino, then you should, on average, expect 40% of the prison population to be Latino. That is not the case in Tucson or anywhere across the country. You have much disproportionate amounts of black and Latinos in prisons than other people. Now, you know, we talk about, you know, morality and stuff. But think about what Republicans are always trying to do. They want to enforce, you know, do you have your papers? Do you have this and that? Or we're going to throw you in jail. But think about, like, the things we're passing today. Like, if you speed, which is a public safety hazard, oh, just pay $15 million. Oh, let's get rid of the cameras, the speed cameras. Because I want to be able to break the law and not be vilified like we vilify Mexicans.
Oh, you're saying it's selective then?
Yeah, because we want to lock them up if you're undocumented. If you're brought here as a two-year-old and you don't have your paperwork, put you in prison. You're undocumented.
Only if they get caught.
Okay, but now you get caught breaking the law.
But I want to get caught by a human being. $15. I don't want to get caught by a camera. I don't want to have my rights violated by a video screen. I want my rights violated by a human being if they're going to get violated.
David is next. David on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's see if we can work his call in here on the showdown. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I know we're right here at the end of half hour, and I have a pencil and paper. I heard.
Hello,
David.
Oh, my thing. My.
Go ahead, David.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I heard your guest, David, say that evolution has been proven. I have my pencil and paper. I would like him to give me the source so I can see this for myself.
Oh, just go to the evolution series that the U of A College of Science puts on all the time. I used to work in an evolutionary lab. I mean, we the reason you have flu shots every year is because the flu virus evolves. The reason, you know, we always, I mean, I hope the Republicans, you know, evolve with us too, but evolution is everywhere.
My question is this. Is there any correlation between the population that is on welfare and the population that is in prison? Same numbers apply. If you look at your prison population and you look at your welfare population, the numbers are almost identical.
Yeah, and well, most of the welfare population is single white mothers, so I don't know what point you're trying to make.
But if you look at the numbers in prison and you look at the people that are on welfare, it is almost identical.
Well, you're right. I mean, how many bankers have gone to jail for, you know, collapsing our economy? None. But yet, you know, poor people on the street get busted all the time. You know, people in the homeless camp get busted. You know, there's select people.
Because they're breaking the law.
You're talking about the
That's what I mean. Everyone,
you're talking about the pod people?
Yeah, everyone breaks
the law. They broke
the law. Everyone breaks the law. You break the law when you speed, but you don't get vilified.
I don't get caught. When I got caught, I paid my fine.
All right, next class.
If it's about morality, you're breaking the law and getting away with it. So,
let's see if we can work in one more call. I got about 90 seconds. Adriana, go ahead.
Hi. So I wanted to say they are the ones who are committing the crime, so they are the ones who are in prison. So I don't understand. Are you advocating that we should be putting people in jail just to balance out the race, to put more Anglos in there? Because
what I'm saying is the enforcement is selective. If you look at, for example, marijuana use, studies have shown that white people do smoke more marijuana and do more drugs than minorities do. But where's the enforcement? Who's going to get busted
but
for
murder? They might be committing that crime, but they're not getting caught.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. They're, the enforcement.
That's the thing. No.
What you're saying is when you're rich, you can get away with it. You can hire lawyers. That's what you're saying.
Are you telling me those homeless people downtown that got busted are rich?
They got busted. You're proving my point. They got busted because they're not rich.
That's not a fact. That's not a fact.
Yes, it is. How many billionaire, how many prison?
You're trying to base it on rape.
How many bankers who destroyed our economy are in jail today?
All right.
Committed the crime.
Okay. Adriana, thank you very much for your call, but we are out of time on the showdown. It is a half an hour segment, and the half an hour is up. Sean McCluskey, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, sir.
And David Morales, thank you. We'll look for your work. People can find it. Just do a Google search, Three Sonorans.
ThreeSonorans.com.
.com.
And a quick plug for the Tucson Festival Books this weekend.
Okay. You're going to be out there?
Of course.
All right. David and Sean, have a great weekend. Thank you. All right, Kelly Ward, state senator, Lake Havasu City, and a real rising star in the Republican Party. Is that right, Sean?
Absolutely. She's a Republican rock star. Going to be down here at the College Republicans tonight as well, and she may take on McCain.
We'll find out. We'll talk to her next on Buckmaster.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. You know, I've written 36 books. One of my best, I think, is Have a New Kid by Friday. Hit the New York Times bestseller list. Maybe you'd like a new home by Friday. Maybe you're driven up the wall by bugs and the pests that Tucson, Arizona has. Hey, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
New 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line State Senator Kelly Ward, who represents the Lake Havasu area at the state legislature. She is also a physician, and she's being talked about as a possible U.S. Senate candidate to run against, run the Republican primary against John McCain. Senator Ward, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, thank you very much. We've heard so much about you. Sean McCluskey, one of your very big supporters, just with us here a few moments ago on the show. He says you're he calls you a rising rock star in the Republican Party.
That's very flattering. Very flattering.
So what is the deal about, are you thinking about a run for U.S. Senate?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I am seriously considering it. I've got a lot of thinking, learning, listening, praying that I have to do before I'm going to be willing to jump into that race because, you know, I mean, our sitting senator is a very powerful guy who's, been in there for a very, very long time, over 30 years. And so it's not something that I would take lightly. It's something that has to have a financial path, has to have a political path, and those two paths have to converge to a vision of victory. And so if those things come together, then I may do it. But right now I'm really focusing on getting a lot of work done here, a lot of good work done for the state of Arizona. Had a lot of bills this session. A lot of them are alive. Things to decrease the size of government, things to increase accountability in many of our entitlement programs, improve health and education in the state, reward success in our economy, all kinds of great things. So I'm working really hard to get those through, get them through the House now, and get them up to the governor's desk and help out the people in Arizona and make things better here.
You told the Arizona Republic, they had a column, it's called Into the Mind of Arizona Senator Kelly Ward. They asked you if there was one bill of yours that could pass. You said you're hoping it's the AZ beer bill. What is the beer bill?
Right. Well, the beer bill is a great bill to reward success in our state. You know, the microbrewers, the craft brewing industry in Arizona has been really, really not only resilient, but spectacular through this economic downturn that we've been going through for so long. They were able to actually improve, to grow 15 to 18% every year over the last decade, despite the recession. And so there was some talk about, hey, we need to cap them off and we need to take the people who have their brew pubs and their restaurants and their retail. And if they grow too big, if they become too successful, too big to be successful, I guess, then we should make them get rid of those restaurants. We should make them fire people who work for them. We should make them divest of the things that have actually made them successful. And I didn't think that was a very good idea. So I was working with the craft brewers, with 57 of the craft brewers, along with 11 of the distributors in the state, along with, I feel like, the people of the state, the citizens of the state of Arizona were definitely behind my bill, to make sure that we reward success, that we allow those little tiny local breweries and brewers who are craftsmen, who want to just make a product that people want to drink. And they might start out really small, but never know how big they're going to grow. But we should allow those dreams to occur. We should allow them to imagine the potential of what they could have, and we shouldn't, as a state, and I don't think government ever should, shut down success. We should let them dream big and succeed big, and that's what Senate Bill 1030, the Arizona Beer Bill, will do once it's signed by the governor.
There are so many issues that we still want to cover with you here in the remaining 6 minutes with you, Senator Ward. Of course, Common Core, the House did vote to scrap the Common Core academic standards. What is your feeling about how this will do now as it moves on to what some see as an uncertain future over in your area in the Senate?
Right, right. Well, I have been an outspoken critic of Common Core and of the federalization or nationalization of our education system. I'm a proponent of keeping education local. I think that, if I were a teacher, I actually would be offended by the thought that some outside entity needed to come in and test me as to how well I was teaching. I mean, teachers know how our kids are doing. They know the ones that are struggling. They know the ones that are performing okay, and they know the ones that are excelling. And to think that some federal agency needs to come in and check them is, to me, offensive. I don't think that we need that in our state. I think that our state can improve vastly in education by allowing our teachers to teach, to exercise their creativity and their innovation in the classroom in order to lead to student success. So I think that I'm very proud of the House that they were able to get 2190 through, that would repeal Common Core, that would put us back on a path of making Arizona standards that are Arizona great. And are there still a lot of hurdles? Yes. I mean, they got it through their committee after a 3.5-hour committee session in the House. They got it. They had to wait a little while to get the votes that they needed. They've created some language that's really good that I think they've gotten a lot of consensus from. In testimony yesterday on the floor, Representative Fincham, who's the sponsor, said that he has support from the Department of Education as well as from the governor's office, so that's a good sign. You know, of course, when it gets to the Senate, I think it'll make it through the Senate Education Committee. We'll have testimony as well. I think when it gets to the floor, we'll have the same problems with the same people who have caused problems that on my side, on the Republican side, who seem to want big government, who want intervention, who want regulation, who want federal takeover of Arizona. So those four really have been targets of emails and phone calls from the people out in the community who want freedom in education in Arizona. So I still worry about them. It only takes two of them to go with the Democrats and cause this to fail. But I'm hopeful that we can come together as a party, a party of people who represent people in Arizona who sent a mandate this year by electing Diane Douglas that they don't want a federalization of our education process. They want local education. They want great education. And I think that we can make that happen if we can get this bill through and we can actually start to bring in the experts, bring in the teachers, bring in the people from in the trenches to make those standards and lead to student success.
State Senator Kelly Ward with us on the Buckmaster Show. As you know, the Arizona Board of Regents very, very upset about the $100 million, $99 million budget cut to the state universities. Mark Killian, the chair of the board, has threatened to sue you and the lawmakers. He says, quoting here, "They don't care. I've never been in my whole time in public life so frustrated." Your reaction, Kelly?
Right, right. Well, you know, and I'm a big supporter of the universities and of education, of higher education in general, I will tell you. But, you know, you have to also remember that in the general fund budget for this year, the universities are getting $600 million. So they aren't getting $700 million, but they are getting $600 million. It's about 7% of the whole state budget that goes to our universities. And you also have to look at the university expenditure plan. So the universities, despite, you know, they have this cut, their plan to spend in fiscal 15 is $4.79 billion, not million, billion dollars in their spending plan. And then in 16, it's up to $4.84 billion. In spending. And so there is some money around. And, you know, I think that once we get back to times of plenty, we are going to have more to invest in education, both K-12 and higher education. But, we all have had to tighten our budgets. This was not our belts. This was not a comfortable budget for anybody. I mean, we've been getting hate mail from all sides. Don't kid yourself. It's not just from the universities, K-12. It's from everywhere because everyone's had to tighten their belt. But I will tell you that when we got here this year, we were in a hole of $717 million. So we had to dig ourselves out of that hole in some way, and we had to make some cuts. And I'm really happy to have worked with Governor Ducey to help make that happen and to get this conservative budget. But I just think that we had to put ourselves on solid financial footing as a state so that we can be proactive and we can move forward and we can develop that economy and we can develop those high-paying jobs so that we are able to be an economic engine here in the state, and then we have more to invest in those things that we all think are very, very important, which K-12 and university and education is definitely at the top of that list for many, many people down here.
You are a physician. There aren't many physicians in the legislature. I can think down here of State Representative Randall Fries, and then yourself. Are there any other physicians in the legislature?
Yes. I used to be able to say I was the only practicing physician in the Arizona legislature because before Dr. Fries got here. But now, you know, we're both here. Dr. Meyer, Eric Meyer, is also over on the House side. He doesn't practice currently. He used to practice emergency medicine. I'm a family physician by trade, but I just work in the emergency department now, both in Kingman and in Lake Havasu, because I want to keep my medical mind sharp. But you cannot run an office in Lake Havasu and serve an office in Phoenix. It's very, very difficult. But it is great to be down here to be a voice of reason for healthcare and trying to find ways to improve our healthcare system for everybody.
And you are speaking to the young Republicans on the U of A campus tonight,
yes,
is that correct?
College Republicans. So, yeah, I'll be there. I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm excited to get to Tucson.
One quick question about clean elections. The Senate is going to be, what's the latest on that? Is clean elections going to be put on the ballot to let the voters decide whether they want to continue with it?
Right. It did make it through through the Senate yesterday or the day before. And that bill is a Steve Pierce bill, basically, that says that the money that we're investing in politicians now, we'd like to invest in education. And so we want to give the voters the chance to decide, should we invest in politicians or should we invest in education? I really think that we need to look at that and take a hard look at it and consider putting that money right into education where everyone has been crying out that it is needed.
All right. Republican District 5. Lake Havasu City State Senator Kelly Ward, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us, Kelly. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Hey, join me on Facebook or on Twitter, Kelly Ward for Arizona, Kelly Ward AZ, and remember, it's Kelly with an I because I care about the people.
Well, thank you, Kelly, and you are a friend. Thank you on Facebook, and we appreciate that. Kelly Ward with us on The Buckmaster Show. Tom Collier, The Buckmaster Show contributor on Consumer Affairs, is going to talk to us about some important information about credit cards and major credit reporting agencies. That's next on The Buckmaster Show.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at GoodwillSouthernAZ.org.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered, and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Now on the Buckmaster Show, presented by this portion, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I mentioned on yesterday's story, they're already preparing for the big blues festival. It is the Memorial Day weekend. They've got top performers, blues performers, from all over the country coming in, and this is going to be a big deal. So check out all the great places to stay and things to do in Silver City and southwestnewmexico.org. That's southwestnewmexico.org. They have the full listing of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. Check it out. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. One of our two dozen or so contributors to this program who is with us at least on a once-a-month basis is Tom Collier. Tom talks about consumer affairs. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
Basking in the wonderful Arizona sun.
Yeah, there you go. We're having
just
a very nice
today.
Spring.
Yeah.
Only had a couple of days where it actually was freezing, but that was like late in last year. I don't think we had too many days where we hit freezing this
kind
year.
Kind of gloomy outside today, but hey, you know, that'll go away.
Credit reporting agencies, always confusion about this, and now there's some more changes.
Lots of confusion, and a lot of people are kind of, well, enough confusion to cause people to wonder what their rights are in this particular area. And there have been some changes recently that the three major credit reporting agencies agreed to settle a dispute that they were having, and it is an agreement with the state of New York's attorney general. So this is kind of unusual, because this agreement with a state attorney general, they have voluntarily agreed to implement these changes so that they apply nationwide. And the three credit reporting agencies that most people are familiar with, the big dogs on this particular porch, are Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. But what they've agreed to do is that over the next 3 years, and they're doing this voluntarily, and I point out that part of the reason they're doing this voluntarily is because they see the handwriting on the wall, because there's stuff that's starting to accumulate, grievances that are starting to accumulate that generate federal legislation to force these guys to do this. So anyway, voluntarily, over the next 3 years, what they're going to do is make some policy changes about the way that they handle errors, and there are a lot of them, and how they handle consumer disputes of those errors, or when a consumer disputes a fact or a comment or a particular status in a report. And then most, I think most significantly, they're going to change the way they handle and list unpaid medical bills. Now the credit reporting agencies will be required, according to, and I think this is really interesting, according to the New York's settlement agreement, to use trained employees to review the documentation. What did they do beforehand?
Exactly. I mean, who is looking over the material?
Anyway.
Where they weren't trained.
I mean. So, yeah, exactly. So they've agreed to use trained employees when a consumer submits documentation or a report or a comment that they believe there's an error in their credit file, even if the creditor says that information is correct. So anyway, I guess that's an improvement. They're going to use trained employees now.
Let me ask you, how hard is it to get rid of something that is in error on your credit report?
If it is in error, it is harder than it needs to be. If it's accurate, there is no way in the world that you're going to get rid of it, and neither should you get rid of it if the information is accurate. And that's a whole nother topic, is these companies that promise that they'll remove unfavorable data from your credit report. If it's unfavorable and it's true, it can't be removed. In fact, it shouldn't be removed. So anyway, to ensure that this information is correct, what the consumer advocates are going to get people to do is get, and we will urge you to do this here, is get your free credit report each year from each of the three bureaus. And if you don't remember anything else that we say during this segment, write this down. There is a website where you can get all three of your credit reports that you're allowed under federal law, a free copy of once a year. And that website is not freecreditreports.com. Freecreditreports.com is a commercial website owned by one of these big three credit reporting agencies. And what it's set up to do is seduce you into signing up for a monthly credit report monitoring service.
With a fee.
$12 to $15 a month.
So what is the appropriate place?
Now take up your pencil or your pen and write this one down.
All right.
It is annualcreditreport.com. All one word. Annualcreditreport.com. Now that's the government mandated website where you can get your credit report, including your FICO score, from all three of the credit reporting agencies. Now, let's see.
And so everyone is entitled to
For the past 8, maybe 9 years, you have been entitled to one free copy. And they used to charge. They used to charge anywhere from $9 to $12 for your credit report. And if there was erroneous information on it, then you would have to get them try to dispute it, and then you have to pay another $9 to see if they corrected it. So at any rate, once a year, you're entitled to a free copy of your credit report from each of the big dogs, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. So, but the thing I wanted to talk about particularly is this change in the way they report medical debt and medical information. What they're going to do now is instill a 180-day waiting period before they add any medical debt information to a consumer's report. Credit report. And the reason for this is that the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau had said that this was something that they were going to be looking at. And part of the reason for that is because it takes so long now for insurance companies to get involved and for discrepancies in whether the insurance paid the doctor or whether you paid the doctor, but the insurance company didn't record it, or somebody says they didn't get paid and they rat you out to a credit reporting bureau because you supposedly haven't paid your bill. It takes so long now. It's gotten so complicated for this type of information to be processed. So there's a 180-day grace period now on medical information before it will be put on your credit report so you can clear up any of those discrepancies and then catch up on any other unpaid bills.
Yeah, because if it's not paid in a timely fashion, 30 or 60 days, the medical provider may try to use that as saying, hey, we're going to report this to your credit bureau.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're trying to use that to pressure somebody to give them the money. And of course, it's in business, they don't care.
No.
Either you give them money and that gets it off their books. And then if the insurance company owes you money because you paid something they should have paid, then they're not going to get involved in that. That's between you and the insurance company, and you have to fight them for that.
It is Annual Credit Report.
Annualcreditreport.com. And there is an 800 number, and I'm sorry I don't have it with me, but you can Google that and find it. But remember, annualcreditreport.com.
Hey, I've got about a minute left. You know, these negative online reviews that pop up on Yelp and other blog sites. New wrinkle in that?
Yeah, there is a new wrinkle in that. There were a couple of companies, restaurants, that were saying that you will owe us a fine.
Or they threatened to sue you?
Threatened to sue you if you don't know them. in Florida, there is an apartment building now, which has gotten a lot of publicity because they put a clause in the lease that says, if you give a negative review for this apartment building, there's a $10,000 fine.
Wow.
Not because you said anything negatively, because what they've included in the lease agreement is a clause which says, we own the copyright for any pictures that you take in your apartment or anything that you post on about that uses our apartment's name. So it's not that you did anything negative, it's that you violated copyright. Mm. That's being thrown out. The agency that implemented it said, oh, a previous owner did that. That's not our, you know, we're not going to hold any of our current tenants for that.
Free speech, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it could be. But at any rate, this is one of the things that people need to be aware of when they rush to the internet and say, I'll show them, I'll post mm-hmm. something negative. And it's even if it's overturned eventually, it's really expensive to do that.
Tom Collier, thank you very much. Tom, we'll see you in April. For a auto mechanic you can trust, I strongly recommend Mike Emery and his fine, fully certified team at Perfection Auto Works. On the web, it's perfectionautoworks.com for all of your foreign and domestic automobile needs. Convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway. They're at 1046 North Beverly. So check it out, perfectionautoworks.com. We also ask you to check out one of our other local talk shows, For Tucson at 4, which will be coming up in about 3 hours with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen producing that show. Mike and Ray do a great job. Then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, and then the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Ed Alexander and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.